Who's that? Who's that little girl?
So, funny enough, so Adrian gave me this puppy, right?
No way.
And yeah, and I wanted to call her Victoria Frankenstein. And Monique was like, hell no. So her name's Frankie.
Oh, okay. So she's still Frankie, though.
Yeah, because what's it called? We agreed to take her off of Adrian's hands after I was, it was during that epic opening visit. So I was
Ah.
like, perfect, Dark Universe dog.
Bye, Frankie.
Bye, Frankie. Let's get this thing started.
All right.
We're back, baby. That's my
We
favorite.
are back. We are back, baby, with another episode of News from the Queue. This is the long-awaited episode of News from the Queue that we've been talking about for a while. I just said so someone commented in I think our one of our prior episodes that I say too much. I'm gonna try not to, but I'm sure I'm gonna fail at it. But
Really?
I will do my best to say less ums in this episode. But like I was saying, this is the episode that we've been talking about for a little while. This is Eddie and I talking about Islands of Adventures. Islands of Adventure, and specifically the history of the Lost Continent and potentially what could be coming to the Lost Continent as they work to replace that area of Islands of Adventure. So before we hop into it, I'm Paul from Destination Geek. You can check me out, Destination Geek on YouTube, Destination Geek HQ on Twitter and Instagram, social media stuff. And I am joined today by
Senor Eddie from Edutainment, and you can find me on YouTube as Edutainment and all my other social medias as Edutainment One. And we appreciate your feedback, even if it's on our ums.
yes. You know, I've been meaning to comment. You literally had to make yourself Edutainment One because someone already had Edutainment taken with the exact same spelling.
Yes. And the funny thing about it is I can't find them anywhere, like if I search them. And for whatever reason, whenever I search edutainment, even on YouTube, it corrects it to edutainment, EDU
Yes, I
tainment.
get that too. Edutainment.
So it's always been kind of a hiccup in the name choice, but I've stuck to it.
I mean that your videos are educational, and this video is going to be educational,
Oh yeah.
educational and fun, you know. Because I you know, we're gonna. I'm excited to talk about what could potentially be coming to Lost Continent, and I have some thoughts about probably something that's not going to happen, but something I wish would happen. But we'll get
Oh.
there. We're not anywhere near there. We are going to hop back in our rewind machine,
Yes, sir.
Mr.
Yes, sir.
Eddie.
So go back in the history of the land, because in order to find out where we're going, we need to know where we came from.
We're going to go
Cliche.
back to the future. We're not. We're going to go back to the past, actually. And then we'll come back
Yeah.
to the future.
Yeah,
We're
you
going to go
brought it
back to
up.
1999. Eddie was like 3.5 years old.
Yeah, I was a little tyke.
A little tyke.
But that was the opening of IOA, Islands of Adventure, and the Lost Continent is an original land. And you know, one of the things that in my research I was finding is Lost Continent, as we dive into this, is probably one of the last like lands of original IP. And probably one of the most valuable lands that is not maximized right now within the theme park world, not just Universal.
You know, that's a good point. Now that I think about it, well, I'm thinking about Universal, right? I mean, obviously, taking Six Flags and stuff out of it is one of the few lands based on original content or few things based on original content in those Universal Studios parks. So the rest of Islands of Adventure is all IP.
Right.
The majority, all of Universal Studios is, you know, is based on either real locations or IP locations or IP rides. And Epic Universe, the only non-IP area of the park is Celestial Park, the central hub,
Yeah, the
right?
central hub. So it's the last of a dying breed.
Yeah, and Dark Universe is considered IP, just in the same way Universal Studios Monsters is considered IP when they have it at Halloween Horror Nights. Technically, Dark Universe is considered IP also, even though it's original story, original content with those characters, it is still technically licensed, which is weird, but whatever. That's how I'm getting around always, my that. That's because I know
the Halloween
like
Horror
Dark Universe
for the house. That's yeah, the Halloween Horror Nights debate for the house. People are always saying, "Oh no, we have six originals because of monsters," and I'm like, "I don't
not,
think
not according
Universal,
to the rules."
Yeah, not even that. Not according to the P&L.
Yeah,
right.
They have to pay for that. They have to pay to use those characters.
Yeah, they have to pay to use those characters. But back to the opening. So May 28th of 1999 is when Islands of Adventure opened up. An amazing park. By all standards, mm-hmm. and Universal opened it up with its most ambitious non-intellectual property land, which is the Lost Continent. So back to the fact that it is an original, and it was built on ancient mythology and exploration themes. Very cool.
Yeah, so let's be clear. It's not, even though it's original content, it is not necessary because it's not intellectual property. It is based on mythology. It's based around ancient gods, medieval legends. So when it first opened, you know, it opened with a number of attractions. It opened with Dueling Dragons, which was a dueling yes. inverted coaster. It opened with The Eighth Voyage of Sinbad, which was a live stunt show. And it opened up with Poseidon's Fury, which was kind of a walkthrough effects attraction. So it had three pretty large scale attractions when it first opened in 1999. A year later, they had a little kind of a family coaster called Flying Unicorn that was opened in 2000. And so
Flying Unicorn, Griffin, whatever it is.
Yeah. Flying Unicorn is now Flight of the Hippogriff.
Yeah. 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 So some pieces still exist, but that brings us to another point, right? Like the Lost Continent used to be a lot more than what it is today. So if you haven't visited Universal in the past, you've only visited in the past couple years, your assumption of Lost Continent is this small little parcel of land when it used to be actually made up of, you could kind of think of it as like three little islands. You had the Sinbad Bazaar, you had the lost city, the Atlantis/Poseidon portion, and then you had Merlinwood, which is where Dueling Dragons existed.
Yeah, if you haven't visited this park in the last 10 years, everything we're talking about sounds foreign to you. Almost everything we're talking about, because I think, you know, Dragon's Challenge closed in 2017, Sinbad closed in 2018, Poseidon's Fury just closed in 2023, but, you know, a huge chunk of Lost Continent became Hogsmeade, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, in 2010, 16 years ago, as of this recording. So what we're talking about is predates the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And, you know, I feel honestly quite grateful to have seen it, because I went to the park in 2003. I remember at the time, even though obviously as a big comic book guy, Marvel Superhero Island being something that I gravitated towards. And of course, Jurassic Park is cool and all that. Yeah. But like Lost Continent, I love ancient mythology. I love, you know, that kind of thing. So being able to step into that world, and it was, let me clarify, so well themed.
Yes.
There is nothing quite like at the time in 2003, even despite everything else in the park being so well done, there was nothing quite like the visual spectacle of Mythos, the restaurant with the giant, you know, heads, you know, sculpture with the fountain coming out of the mouth on the side of it, nor the giant Poseidon holding his trident, you know, the giant hand of Poseidon in front of Poseidon Fury. Nothing visually like that in any theme park that I had ever seen before as of 2003. Now, obviously, theming is the name of the game. Nowadays, we have Dark Universe with a number of take your breath away moments. But at the time, it was the most beautiful area of any theme park I had ever seen back in 2003 or 1999 when it opened.
And you know, funny enough, for the most part, it still really is, even with not having attractions. And you did mention Dragon Challenge, which, for those of you who don't know, that's what Dueling Dragons eventually became when Hogsmeade took over, and then eventually Hagrid's replaced Dragon Challenge. So that coaster was integrated into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter for a little bit, eventually demolished, which was sad. A lot of people really love that coaster and the dueling aspect, which is why Stardust Racers exist, I think.
I think so too. But I will say I understand why they did it. You know, I think they had taken a lot of the by the time Dueling Dragons closed in 2017, or Dueling Dragons became Dragon Challenge, but by the time it closed in 2017, they had stopped dueling for the most part because people were throwing crap at each other on the, you know, on the trains, and so it wasn't a great experience. But I also understand Dueling Dragons, much like Stardust Racers, pretty intense coaster, not really something that you could bring in all ages. Contingent on, unless you know you have young kids who are into coasters, but even then it had a pretty decent height requirement. Dragon Challenge, or excuse me, Hagrid's is a nice family-friendly coaster, still has some extreme aspects to it, but you can bring, you know, a child on it, you know, 6-7 years old probably on it, as long as they meet the height requirements. And so I get why they replaced it with Hagrid's, and Hagrid's is a great ride, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like Hagrid's quite a bit. Yeah, they did a great job with it.
That's not by any means a downgrade at all. It's just a completely different experience. And for those of you who enjoy theming, probably an elevated experience compared to Dueling Dragons. That being said, still in Hagrid's, you can still see some of the elements of Dueling Dragons still exist. If you pay attention to the hieroglyphics and stuff on the walls, you'll see the blue dragon and the red dragon and all that fun stuff. So if you're
looking
for
some strikes, whole Halloween Horror Nights house based on it a few years back too.
Yeah. Yep, that's
for you HHN fans. We had a whole Dueling Dragons. Well, it was called Dueling Dragons, I think. The HHN house.
Choose thy fate.
Choose thy fate.
Yes. And you bring up Mythos, which is also a opening day, not attraction, but experience, I guess you could say, because it's a very elevated restaurant and named one of the best restaurants, if not the best restaurants in theme parks.
Many years,
and it still exists. And really, the last remnants of anything that you could experience in the Lost Continent is the fountain, the shops, if you want to consider that, Flight of the Hippogriff, which is no longer part of the Lost Continent, but is a part of what it used to be, and then Mythos.
Mythos is one of the few things that's remain unchanged, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, other than improvements and changes to the menu, you know, I think Mythos is probably one of the few things that's left. And because it's so award-winning and because it's so popular, you know, there's Fire Breathers Grill and there's a couple of things throughout the streets. But for the most part, it is a shell of what it used to be, even when I went to the park recently, I went, I guess March, when did I go for Mardi Gras? Recently. It's on my YouTube channel. Check it out. Check out that video. I went there recently and, you know, they had opened up an All Hallows Eve store in that section of the park. They had taken one of the stores and basically had a year-round Halloween shop where you could get a little bit of a Halloween fix, a little Halloween decorations, that kind of thing. Certainly not a Halloween Horror Nights experience, but a little bit of a Halloween feel. And even that has closed recently because
moved somewhere, you know, though, right?
They have moved the merchandise and some of the decorations to an open air shop at the front of the park, but it's not specifically Halloween stuff. What I would say is at the front of the park, because the last time I went there, they had Masters of the Universe stuff that I picked up a Masters of the Universe hat and I think a t-shirt last time I was there. So it's not even specifically Halloween anymore. But that closure, and of course years and years of rumors that Eddie's going to talk about here in a second, kind of are feeding this notion that something is happening soon. We have construction walls up. We've got permits filed. We've got stuff going on.
Lost Continent was, at the time, the proving ground for Universal to show that it could compete with a Disney-level type of park on theming without having to utilize intellectual property. And then we had that decline. We talked about, you know, losing Merlin Wood, which I think was the beginning of the end, right? Like if they decided that a parcel of this land wasn't important, eventually the rest of the land wasn't going to be important. And I gotta say, I still walk through the land today and I've never walked through it and been like, oh, they need to replace this, right? Like I always walk through it and kind of enjoy it. But when rumors come up that there's gonna be something replacing it, I'm always like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I'm not mad about it because obviously there's not much to do there outside of maybe like a King Julian meet and greet every once in a while.
Oh yeah, the King Julian meet and greet. I forgot about the King Julian meet and greet. But I will say, and so here, Eddie, here is where I go into a little bit of a thing before we transition. So when the She-Ra show on Netflix was really popular. There was a recent She-Ra series, I don't know, years ago. In the re in recent years though, there was a She-Ra animated series, very popular. They actually had She-Ra meet and greets out in the Lost Continent. And Universal, I know there's money involved in things like that, but I would love it, absolutely love it, if this fact that they're all of a sudden selling Master of the Universe merchandise in the park was somehow indicative of some type of Master of the Universe pop-up happening in that land, whether it's merch, more merchandise, props from the new movie, meet and greets with He-Man or some of the cast of characters, because we've got a new Master of the Universe movie coming out this summer. Looks baller. I'm a big Master of the Universe was my jam. Back in the mid to late 80s, that was that, or mid 80s, that's the cartoon that I loved the most growing up. And so I would straight up fly down if the, even though it's some dude with no shirt on holding a sword pretending to be He-Man, I would straight up fly down if they had some type of Master of the Universe pop up and He-Man meet and greet, because I love the property that much. And so I would love it if before they go down the path of what on some of the stuff we're going to talk about here shortly, if they had some type of Master of the Universe pop up in anticipation of the movie. Because it's She-Ra is He-Man's cousin. So, maybe He-Man can come to Islands of Adventure before they shut down Lost Continent.
And you're throwing a thought into my head that's getting the wheels turning. I don't think it would be unlikely for them to throw in a placeholder, like some type of meet and greet while construction's going on in the background. So that's something that's possible. I don't
I
know if
hope
that
so. I mean,
particular
here's the thing.
property.
I don't think the movie's going to make $2 billion and be worth their time to theme the land around it. That's not even on the rumor mill.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't be mad if it happened, but I'm sure that's not on the docket. It's certainly not any one of the rumors that we're going to talk about today. But just give me a He-Man meet and greet, Universal. Just give me some movie props. You had this whole Wicked thing going on for a few years. Just you in fact, they recently announced that we're going to talk about some rumors and stuff, but they recently had some news, Universal Orlando, regarding their summertime stuff. And so they're actually going to have a limited time exhibit around Spielberg summer blockbusters, where guests can explore a collection of props and behind the scenes stories commemorating some of Steven Spielberg's most iconic movies, including the upcoming Disclosure Day
Oh, very
movie that
cool.
comes
Is that
out June 12th.
going into the Wicked
I don't know. It just says it's going to be at Universal Studios. I don't know if it's going to go into the Wicked store specifically or whatever. But that being said, if you have a Disclosure Day pop up and no one's interested in that movie, surely you can have. And I'm a big Spielberg fan, but that movie looks boring as hell. Surely you can have a Masters of the Universe pop up. Just
Surely.
saying.
I agree with you, and completely off topic, but I think the Wicked store has ran its course about 3 months ago.
Oh, easily. Yeah. I mean, I would say by the time that movie, by the time the second movie was on Peacock, they should have shut that store down. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's very cool. But at the same time, I think that's a big plot of land, big store. So maybe that'll be the Spielberg movie experience. I don't know exactly, but I'm hopeful that we talked about it in a prior episode. I hope that they utilize that space if possible for the HHN tribute store, because I think it's a decent space.
That would be great news if that ends up being the case. But wrapping it up, kind of the state of things, and before we get into the speculations. So the Sinbad Stunt Show closed in 2018. The Poseidon's Fury actually closed before 2023 for a pretty long
That's right,
closure.
for
Yeah, to reopen for a short amount
refurbishment.
of time to close again May 2023. So really the last thing left in the actual Lost Continent is the restaurant Mythos, which is a great restaurant. I hope that that restaurant gets rethemed but kept in its core the way that it is. So really the current state of the land is no major attractions, no attractions at all really. And effectively, it's a non-functional land that's been kind of parceled out, and some of the areas aren't even being utilized. So there's space out there, like the Sinbad stage, that has been closed for some time now and just sitting in the back. That's prime real estate. It's kind of centralized in the Islands of Adventure Park. So it's a really important part of Islands of Adventure. If you actually like walk through and look at the actual like setup of Islands of Adventure, most people, for whatever reason, they tend to go right. It's the second land that you run into when you when you go into the park, if you go that route. Now transitioning into some of the rumor mill and some of the things that kind of got everything started. So some time ago, conversations started around, and this is all information that I've gathered through other creators and other vlogs and blogs that are out there.
Eddie, I'm gonna pause you here.
Go ahead.
Now we're going back to the future. Okay, proceed.
We're back, baby.
We're back, baby.
That was perfect, by the way. I don't know how to. I'm sure if I tried, I could look up like county records and city ordinance to figure out what Universal is potentially doing.
You but know, I'd rather you leave could, that to other people. But yeah, you know, there, Alicia Stella. If you guys are not familiar or subscribed to Theme Park Stop on YouTube, you are doing yourself a disservice. If you like rumors and speculation, right, Alicia Stella, no one looks up permits and documentation and does research quite as well as she does. And you know, I really got on her channel religiously watching it while all the Epic Universe stuff was in yesterday, because she really utilizes a lot of helicopter footage or helicopter photos that are taken by another social media person, Bio Reconstruct, and you know, she connects them with permits and things like that to really set, and you get this visual sense of here's what's coming, even just from blueprints and you know, and photos from a helicopter. But I think if you, and I don't know if it's a helicopter, maybe it's a plane, I don't know, whatever, Skypes, photos from the sky, but I think she does so much great research. Highly recommend checking her out. But anyway, Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, so Alicia Stella, she had a video some time ago that started the rumor mill about potential big things coming to the Lost Continent. There was a permit filed by Universal for a demolishment of 4.9 acres, which in the actual permit, there was discussion of show building, retail space, as well as attraction space that was going to be part of this demolishment, which really leads us to believe that what's coming to Lost Continent is going to be big. It's not going to be like a, you know, just retheming the current land, which I think there's a lot of properties out there that they could actually repurpose a lot of what Lost Continent has, especially with some of the rumors out there. Some more than others, obviously. I'll just mention one of the big rumors that has come to light more recently, which is Pokemon. Obviously, Pokemon can't be slapped over the current Lost Continent. But there's been other rumors out there, like Zelda, that for reasons that we'll discuss in just a moment, may not be the land coming there, but made a lot more sense with the current architecture in the Lost Continent. Before I dive too deep into the speculated replacements, what do you think about those two in particular and the likelihood of one over the other?
I'm going to tell you the land I want, and then I'm going to tell you the land that they'll probably choose, if those are the two properties, right? There have been a number of speculated properties over the years, a number of years, right? Because this has been rumored, frankly, since they cut back Lost Continent to almost nothing almost 10 years ago, right? We've been talking about rumors, and I would, of the two you just mentioned, I feel like Legend of Zelda is the one that I would want to see. I feel like Pokemon is what we're going to get in that space. I also feel like, if I'm being honest, Pokemon is probably a better fit for Islands of Adventure. Now, don't get me wrong, Legends of Zelda has been rumored as coming to the parks also. I think a lot of that will depend on how the movie does. next the movie that's coming out next year, because if the movie bombs or is terrible, they may not invest in such in that property, you know, from a theme park exhibit. We've seen, or, you know, we've seen that happen many times before. But I feel like as it relates to what is a more timeless property, and Zelda's pretty timeless, but what is the property that will do better in Islands of Adventure? I feel like it's going to be Pokemon.
Yeah, for sure. My 3-year-old son knows what Pokemon is. I'm
Yeah,
sure
and
he doesn't
Pokemon's
know
been
what
around
Zelda
for 30 plus, for 30 years at this point almost, you know,
is.
maybe more. I, you know, it is a property that has withstood at this point multiple generations. You know, parents are passing it to their kids, and I think that's indicative of, and it's in the cultural zeitgeist, right? But with Pokemon Go, like Pikachu, Detective Pikachu, like everyone knows what Pokemon is. They may not know the details of it, the story of it, that kind of thing, but everyone knows who Pikachu is. He's, you know, but you know, if you put a picture of Link on you know, in front of the, you know, the average person, they may call Link Zelda, right? You know, so I think, you know, I think Legend of Zelda still has an uphill battle to climb despite being such an iconic Nintendo property. And so I think in that space, in the space that they have, in which for that area of the park and where it connects, right? So this is the land between Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Seuss Landing. I think Pokemon's a better fit.
I think Pokemon is obviously the better fit. And for those of you who don't know, the reason why Pokemon has become the leading potential property to come there is recent negotiations and partnerships with Universal over in Japan and Pokemon. They have now like some meet and greets over there, and they're talking about building that partnership further, which is why that started kind of building up. There was rumors back in the day that a potential replacement to The Simpsons at Universal would also be a Pokemon
Yeah.
land. And I think Universal right now with the new coaster and whatnot, with Epic Universe complete, and now they're just going to be working on one project on at a time instead of, you know, a whole theme park. There's going to be now new reinvestments in the existing parks to make sure that people don't forget about them. So Universal's getting their new coaster. Their what is it? Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift?
Yeah,
No,
Fast and the Furious, Hollywood
California Drift
Drift.
or something. Yeah, Hollywood Drift.
Yeah, Hollywood Drift. Yeah.
Tokyo Drift. But I think Islands of Adventure is due for a replacement. This is a prime piece of land. A property like Pokemon is going to be a great fit for it. I would prefer Zelda as well. And the reason a big reason why I'll prefer Zelda over Pokemon. It's not because I like one property necessarily more over the other. I probably was more into Pokemon growing up than I was into Zelda, but I was very aware of Zelda, played Zelda. But Zelda seems like it would be the better land to preserve more of what currently exists in the Lost Continent. And I do love the Lost Continent. Not just that, I feel like the Legend of Zelda would make for a ride that's probably more thrilling. I feel like Pokemon
Yeah.
is prime for a Mario Kart style
Yeah, another
ride.
shooting ride, you know, where you got to catch them all. I feel like, but I would agree with you. If I had my druthers, like if I had a choice in the matter, if anyone cared about my opinion and I was in charge, I feel like you said, the infrastructure of the Lost Continent could largely be reutilized with some new skinning to be Zelda in some way, shape, or form. A lot of the storytelling is similar. You know, you can have a Legend of Zelda stunt show to reutilize the Sinbad Theater, some type of show there, and you can utilize the Poseidon's Fury building. I feel like that, despite the exterior of it, I feel like the interior would still need to be gutted. The walkthrough attraction is not a jam. You need a ride in there, but you can reutilize that building for some type of amazing dark ride, family coaster, or something like that with animatronic elements. I feel like that's prime. That land, I feel, would be perfect for Legend of Zelda. But I do feel like it'll be Pokemon. I do feel like Simpsons, in my mind, would swap out better for Pokemon. But I think the problem with Simpsons is that it's such a small plot of land. If you think about it, it is literally just a fast food court, a couple of flat rides, and the one show building, you know, that's just, you know, it's a giant screen with the, you know, with the cars in it. You know, it's a replacement for the Back to the Future, right? And is, you know, largely a lot of the same you know, structure. So I don't feel like that's enough real estate for
a property
for Pokemon
of that importance. No.
Yeah.
But I will say some of the rumors when it was coming to Universal was that also Men in Black would get the axe in the process.
Ah, that would make sense.
Yeah, so
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, that would be a little bit more land. You know, I would be okay with it also, but I do love Men in Black. Yeah. The AC alone is enough reason to love Men in Black, but it's also a really cool like shooter. I don't think I've ever experienced such a good quality shooter. Like you go to a lot of these parks, and for example, you go to like King's Dominion or something like that, and you do one of those shooters. Very cool, but the guns aren't accurate, things aren't working. That's not the case with Men in Black. Men in Black is a very like well-kept like shooter ride experience. But
I think one of the things we want to do, so I'm going to come back. Yeah, go ahead. I just before we leave the topic, I think it would be very interesting for us to have a conversation about what we would do with Universal Studios Florida, because there are a number of rides there, properties there that are outdated, right? You know, between the Fast and the Furious, the original ride, Jimmy Fallon, you know, Back to the Future, excuse me, Men in Black, and Simpsons. There's a lot of stuff there that I think could, in the next 5 to 10 years, be ripe for replacing. But I think that's definitely a full conversation. So I'm going to hop back over the pond. Oh, I'm going to hop back past Hard Rock Cafe and go back to Lost Continent, because I do feel like Lost Continent, you know, is there's something happening there, right? Like we said, construction walls are up. We do not have a formal announcement of what's coming there other than the rumors. And so, Eddie, what are you hearing any other rumors besides those two?
Yes. And I'll say this, what's happening right now about, like you said, we're not hearing anything, is exactly what Universal does before a large IP announcement. They are zipped, quiet. I don't know if you guys remember, same thing happened for Velocicoaster. There was this huge like rumor going around about it being just a churro stand, and they were zipped on like what it was actually going to be, and they've done that for a lot of their properties. But a couple other properties that are kind of just in the rumor mill, maybe not as likely, but there is some context out there that could make it so that it's possible, is One Piece. A lot of the merch has hopped over to the U.S. from Japan. Very prevalent over in Japan, now becoming much more prevalent over at Universal. Even so much so that people have talked about a potential Halloween Horror Nights One Piece house coming. So I think that's part of the backing behind that property, but I think less likely. DreamWorks was also another DreamWorks land. I think that after the DreamWorks land over at Universal, kind of that killed that potential. And then another expansion for Nintendo, beyond Mario, which obviously Zelda would have been one of those. And we had this conversation, I think, off camera before. What's the creator of Zelda's name?
Shigeru Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka.
Ah, okay.
So they co-created it.
Yeah, one of them was seen in the Lost Continent actually exploring it, which there is no Nintendo property there. So why would they be there? And Universal had actually posted like a promotional video that showed them there. And as soon as the like sharp-eyed people said, "Oh, why are they there?" That promotional video disappeared and doesn't exist anymore.
Interesting. So, well, that points to a Zelda connection. But I will say again, not on the list at all, but I feel like it's something that, frankly, Islands of Adventure doesn't have. Right? Islands of Adventure has Superhero Island, right? The Marvel Superhero Island, which is your kind of modern New York style. You know, it's got the little area that's themed to cartoons. You know, what is that? Toon Lagoon. Then you've got the small little chunk. I'm calling it a separate chunk, Skull Island, where Kong is, which leads right into Jurassic Park, which then leads into Harry Potter and Hogsmeade, which then leads into Lost Continent and Seuss Landing, right? But what it doesn't have, Eddie, it does not have anything space bound. It doesn't have any you know, all of the properties are either fantasy based or based around like Earth-based adventure. Nintendo's trying to make Star Fox happen again.
Yeah.
You know, he
I
was
love Star
featured in the new
Fox.
Super Mario Galaxy movie. You know, Shigeru Miyamoto also created Star Fox and F-Zero. So I think you have the potential for two rides there. You have the
Yeah.
potential for a roller coaster with a barrel roll in, you know, like a corkscrew, you know, type situation with Star Fox. You have the potential for a car ride or dark ride with F-Zero. I think you could have some type of science fiction based Nintendo Land. Again, this is Paul just saying here's what you should do, but it's not on the rumor mill.
Yeah.
What's genuinely on the rumor mill is what Eddie's talking about.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it is there's a lot of things up in there and there's a lot of possibilities. Right now, Universal is in a great space. They've expanded to the point where they have a ton of land. So obviously the Zelda land has been rumored to both be going to Islands of Adventure or to Epic Universe, right? But there's also been rumors of the Super Nintendo land being expanded into Luigi's Haunted Mansion, and some
Yeah.
other potential properties. So that they could switch these out at any point. I don't think the Luigi's Haunted Mansion would come to the Lost Continent, but if Luigi's Haunted Mansion ends up getting announced soon for Epic Universe, then there's a higher likelihood that they might spread out the Super Nintendo world and bring it over to the Lost Continent.
I think that would be perfect, honestly. I feel like that would be the perfect choice on Universal's part. Both in terms of fandom and in financial, you know, gain, is that you can expand Mario Super Nintendo World, because that's what it's called. It's called Super Nintendo World, right? So you could feature more Nintendo properties there. You can expand that land with another portal or pipe. You know, they got the pipe into Donkey Kong Country. You can have another pipe off of it into the Luigi's Mansion World, where you can genuinely have a haunted house experience. You know, an
Yeah.
old school haunted mansion type experience. I think that could be a lot of fun. And then you could have Legend of Zelda featured where the Lost Continent is.
Yeah.
That's, I
And
think, you know, that would be it. And then Pokemon takes over Simpsons. That
yeah.
would be
And
ideal.
there's been another land in the rumor mill as well, and there's been some context behind why it kind of came to fruition as far as like a speculated property to be coming to either Epic or Islands of Adventure. And that is Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings, at a certain point in time, actually had a lot of like steam behind it because there was, I don't know if it was a rumor or an actual confirmed meeting between Universal heads and the Tolkien estate, whoever's managing it. Which why that would happen is only because they're looking at either doing a movie or bringing a land to Epic Universe or some of the other parts. It was rumored for a while for Epic Universe before any of the lands were actually like announced, but there was also rumors that that could be a perfect fit for a land like Lost Continent. Now, if I were to just decide on my own, you know, just Eddie thinking, I think that would be the coolest land to
I think that
replace
would be,
Lost
and
Continent.
I will say that Lord of the Rings is one of the lands that is rumored for Universal United Kingdom Resort. I think that's,
Yes.
you know, that for the park that they're building out there. You know, some of the lands that are rumored there are Jurassic World, Shrek, James Bond, Paddington, and Lord of the Rings are, you know, amongst the rumored properties. And so if that truly is happening over there, it would be pretty awesome
Yeah.
for them to have it over here, especially because we know we are getting more Lord of the Rings movies, right? They've got the hunt for, I think it's called The Search for Gollum, The Hunt for Gollum. They've got a two-part, you know, movie coming out in a few years on that. So they, you know, they're investing in bringing you know, original actors back and things like that. So I think we're gonna get some more Lord of the Rings stuff coming.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think whether or not that lands in an American theme park is going to really depend on whether those movies do well or not.
Yeah. And I think when you hear some of these rumors pop up multiple times, Epic, Lost Continent, overseas, it's typically because a serious conversation has actually been had about these properties behind the scenes. And these guys have a playbook that they go back to when they're exploring, like, hey, we couldn't find that it would work right now, at Epic, but we're opening this new park. All right, these are the lands that we've had conversations with people. These are the people that are going to be the easiest to continue conversation with than to start a new conversation with a new intellectual property. We can get there, but let's revisit these before we add to it. So I think there's been serious conversations with Lord of the Rings potentially coming, and I think it's potentially still on the list of rumored intellectual properties that could be replacing Lost Continent. But unfortunately, I think Pokemon is going to be the lead right now, especially with the most recent developments between Universal and Pokemon partnership.
Yeah, I would agree. So, but what about you all? What do you think is going to be replacing the Lost Continent Islands of Adventure? Make sure to leave us a comment down below. You know, you have probably seen the same rumors we have. Not only what do you think is going to go there, but what do you want to go there? We've thrown out a couple of ideas of what we would like to see, whether it's Lord of the Rings, Legend of Zelda, Master of the Universe. But you know, what would you like to see go there? Definitely leave us a comment down below with that, you know, with your thoughts. And you know, Eddie, before we wrap up today, you know, I earlier in the podcast I had mentioned the Spielberg Summer Blockbuster exhibit coming to Universal Studios Florida. But you know, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of news of what's coming to Universal Studios Florida this summer, you know, in order to bring you in, you know, during, you know, their summer blockbuster season. They have a whole bunch of summer experiences. I've already talked again about the Spielberg Summer Blockbusters, where there's a collection of props and behind the scenes stories from Spielberg's previous movies, as well as the upcoming Disclosure Day. There is also going to be new Jaws inspired experiences. They've done this before, but it's photo opportunities and meet and greets and interactive experiences, celebrating the movie Jaws. There are also going to be specialty food and drinks, as well as park exclusive merchandise for the Jaws experience. There's also going to be an Illumination Minion and Monsters experience, where fans can get a glimpse of the upcoming movie Minions and Monsters, with interactive photo ops featuring two of the minions that are going to be new to that movie, Henry and James, as well as special menu items at Minions Cafe inspired by the film and its characters. So you're going to have that. And finally, there's going to be a summer movie series at Universal City Walk, starting on select dates from June 20th through August 26th, without are going to feature a number of classic summer movies, including Back to the Future, Jaws, E.T., and more. We're also going to see the return of the Universal Mega Movie Parade, Sensational, which is the the water show celebrating movies, and Hogwarts Always at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which is the light show on the Hogwarts Castle. So all sorts of stuff coming during the summer to Universal. Just kind of wanted to share that news. Universal shared it with us, thought we'd share it with you, to give you some actual news with all this rumors.
Yeah. Hey, that's a great way to wrap it all up. I think
with some edutainment. We wrap it up with some edutainment.
People are going to start searching that more than my channel name. But
no.
Wrapping it all up, I had a great time having this discussion a lot. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. I knew that we would have fun with this one, but yeah. In the process of doing like the research, reminding myself where the Lost Continent came from and where it is today and the potential of the future, and also just kind of reminding myself in the process that this is one of the last of a dying kind, non-intellectual property land that we may be losing very, very soon. It did well for a really long time, but probably failed over time for the lack of recognizability. And probably that Poseidon ride was probably very costly to maintain with low throughput. But Universal's killing it lately. So I think
we'll see what they do.
Right? It's bright on the horizon for whatever's coming to Lost Continent. Just if Universal, if you're listening, keep Mythos. Change the name, but just keep it exactly the same.
And give me that He-Man meet and greet experience. It is not listed on your summer experience press release. He-Man. All right, everybody. If you liked this video, give us a thumbs up on it. It really helps us out. Make sure to share this content with your friends. You know, let's get the word out on News from the Queue. And hit the subscribe button on both of our channels, Destination Geek and Eddie Taman on YouTube. And as a reminder, you can also subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just look up News from the Queue on your favorite podcast provider. You can also listen to us there in case it's not as easy to watch it on YouTube. You can just listen to it in the car on the way to work or while you're walking at the gym or whatever you want to do. So check us out there as well. So much to come in the coming weeks. You're going to want to be subscribed. We've got, of course, an imminent Halloween Horror Nights announcement coming very soon as far as the next house property, as well as, of course, for our Busch Gardens Williamsburg folks, for Bolton, Forbidden Turn, coming very soon. I expect an announcement on opening day, maybe even before we podcast again. We'll have an announcement on opening day. That would be my guess. So much is coming. We're going to talk about it all with you. But Eddie, there's one thing you wanted to mention. Before we wrap up, you were going to talk about Blinky Cup questions.
Our
new feature. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. So we want to keep on building on this, have some fun, get you guys to interact a little bit more.
Exactly. Like have a direct conversation with you all.
Yeah. So we're going to try to incorporate for our next Halloween Horror Nights podcast, a Blinky Cup segment. Now, it's a working title. I don't think it's going to be Blinky Cup segment, but we'll come up with something segment. Good. Yeah. And the idea is we'll throw out an opportunity for you guys on our social medias to answer some questions or ask some questions, which we will then answer on the podcast while having some beverages in our Halloween Horror Nights favorite Blinky Cups. I think that sounds like a whole lot of fun. I really look forward to the first Blinky Cup segment. Working title, help us maybe with a comment down below on a potential title for this segment. But keep an eye out on our social media. Both Paul and I have Instagram, which is probably where we're most active, but we're on TikTok and a couple other things. We'll be throwing out an opportunity for you guys to submit some questions on there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for reminding me. That's exciting.
Yeah, so make sure to leave the comment down below. Leave it on our social media. You can email me, destinationgeek@outlook.com. Just get your questions to us, and you can be featured on an upcoming episode of News from the Queue where we will directly answer your question. Right or wrong, we'll answer it. But you know, we want to talk more with you all. You know, we love the comments that you leave on these videos. We are very appreciative of every single one. You can see we respond to everyone, so we want more of that, and we want to like literally bring you on this podcast with us. We want to answer your questions here. So hopefully this is a fun way to do it while we have a couple drinks. So everybody, thank you so much for watching, and we will see you in the next one.